Chapter 16. Tom has a quiet word with Peter before dinner, saying that Chris is bringing Allison over so they can tell her some pertinent facts. Chris would rather Peter not be here for this, he says. Peter rolls his eyes so hard that he probably sees his brain, but agrees. I was very polite with her at the mall, he says. I know, Tom says. You were very well behaved. I'm proud of you. Peter smirks. Are you going to reward me for being a good boy? Keep it up and we'll see where it leads, Tom says, and Peter just smirks even more before heading into the kitchen. Tom watches him go and thinks about the fact that, yeah, he's definitely flirting with Peter. He's really not sure whether or not that's a bad thing, and he wishes he had someone to talk with about it. Bizarrely, he wishes Claudia was alive for him to talk to. She was always better with people than he was. He sighs and follows Peter into the kitchen. The whole pack is there, and Stiles has made enough lasagna for an army. Tom catches his son giving him the side eye a few times, but he keeps his opinions to himself for once. It's a lively evening. Scott is excited to hear that Allison's going to be put in the loop, and is talking about trying out for lacrosse. Derek keeps rolling his eyes every time Scott talks, so whenever Derek tries to change the subject, Scott just talks about it louder. Tom wonders if he's going to have to put one or both of them in timeout. Erica is talking almost as much about how awesome being a werewolf is and how she's got 3 boyfriends already and life is amazing. She doesn't actually like any of the boyfriends, though. She's talking about a friend of hers named Boyd and how she's sure he would love to be a werewolf, too. There's room in the pack for one more, right? Certainly, Peter says, with a winning smile. Is your friend Boyd sick, too? Tom asks, struggling with his temper. What? No, that's not how I know him, Erica says, misunderstanding the question. He's in a couple of my classes. He needs more friends, though. Does he play lacrosse? Scott asks, and then they start talking about sports. Tom wonders, not for the first time, if Peter was actually correct. All the teenagers who have been turned seem to have adapted to lycanthropy overnight. Even Scott, having spent his first full moon chained up and howling, doesn't seem to have had his spirits dampened by it. They all seem to think being a werewolf is pretty cool. He is the only one who has reservations about turning every teenager in sight. Is that because he's an adult with a better grip on long-term consequences? Or is it because he was turned against his will? And now his gut instinctual reaction is that this is something people shouldn't want. If it's the latter, does he even have any right to stand in Peter's way or tell him how he should be building his pack? Is there some other rational adult he could put in charge of decision-making? Whoever it is, it certainly won't be Chris Argent. Tom isn't sure he's even going to show up at all, but he does, at 8:05, looking uncomfortable and unhappy, and clearly wishing he was somewhere else. Allison looks a little confused, so Tom assumes that Chris didn't really explain where they were going or why. He's packed the teenagers off. Isaac has been staying with Scott, and Scott says he'll give Erica a ride home on the way. Seeing that Tom wants a clear field, Derek asks Stiles if he wants to go get some ice cream or something. Stiles looks very excited and says, inexplicably, "The shirt worked!" before grabbing his car keys. Tom shows Chris and Allison inside and asks if they want something to drink, and Chris says no in a tight little voice. Allison sits down next to her father on the sofa, clearly more confused than ever. Tom resists the urge to ask Chris if he had told her anything at all, because he's pretty sure that the answer is no. He doesn't think starting off with, "So werewolves exist," is a good idea, and he wants Allison to relax a little and understand why Chris has dragged her over here. "Allison, your father and I wanted to talk to you about what happened with your aunt." It's not entirely a lie. Allison is going to learn quite a few unpleasant truths about her aunt during this discussion. And it works as he intended. The confusion clears off her face. Granted, it's replaced by unhappiness, but at least now she can feel the ground beneath her feet. Chris looks even more unhappy than before, but he seems to understand why Tom started with that, so he doesn't object.
Did she really do all that stuff they said in the papers?
Allison asks, folding her hands in her lap. I mean, I know what she did to Stiles. I'm not saying I don't believe him.
She did some of it, but not all of it, Tom says. I won't lie to you, but I'm not going to sugarcoat it either. Kate was a deeply disturbed young woman. She killed a lot of people, and she did it because she enjoyed killing.
Allison winces, but takes a deep breath. Thanks for giving it to me straight.
There's more, Tom says. A lot more.
But since you asked, Kate didn't actually kill any of the people in Beacon Hills that the press has speculated she killed. Those people were her accomplices in the Hale fire, and they were killed by one of the victims. You met him the other day. His name is Peter.
Allison blinks, her mouth slightly ajar.
Peter? The Peter with the great fashion sense? Peter who says gelato is better than ice cream and called us Philistines? That Peter? He killed people?
Yes, Tom says.
But he was just... I mean, he's not in jail. If you know he did it, then why?
We can't put Peter in jail, Tom says, because he's a werewolf.
Oh, right. Allison stares at him. That makes perfect sense.
Chris reaches out and takes her hand, squeezing it. Werewolves are real. So are a lot of the monsters under the bed.
Werewolves, Allison says, and gives a nervous laugh. It breaks off abruptly when Tom shifts. She shoots to her feet and stumbles backwards. Oh my God, what the hell?
Chris grabs her before she can fall. It's okay, Allison.
Tom shifts back to his human form and says, To be honest, I didn't react much better when I found out. I ran off into the forest and nearly got myself shot.
He gives Chris a sidelong glance, but doesn't bother to bring up who is doing the shooting.
I know it's a lot to take in, and you'll probably have to wrestle with it for a while.
Yeah, that's an understatement, Allison says.
Our family has hunted werewolves for several generations, Chris says, and Allison stares at him. All the way since before we came to the United States. He pauses and gives Tom a weary look, then sighs. There are werewolves who don't make any trouble, don't hurt anybody. But there are werewolves who do, and the mundane law can't handle them because they're too strong. They can easily break out of prisons and escape custody.
Is that why Kate killed the Hales? Allison asks.
No, Chris says, understanding that it's important Allison hear this from him, not from Tom. I loved my sister, but Tom's right when he says that she just enjoyed killing. I don't know why she targeted the Hales, but it wasn't because they had hurt anybody. I'm not even sure if it was because they were werewolves. There were at least two people killed in that fire who weren't.
Allison nods, wrestling with this.
So Aunt Kate killed the Hales, and Peter survived and waited 6 years to kill her accomplices?
Peter was badly injured in the fire, Tom says. It took 6 years for him to recover, both physically and mentally, to the point where he was up to seeking revenge. And I want to be clear with you, Allison. I don't condone what Peter did. The people he killed were not werewolves, and they could have been brought to justice in the more mundane fashion. What Peter did was not right. But he can't be imprisoned because he's a werewolf, which leaves us the options of executing him or letting him go free. Peter isn't exactly stable, but I genuinely don't believe he's planning to hurt anybody else, now that his family is avenged. So after some discussion, your father and I agreed that we'll continue to watch him and try to make sure he doesn't go off the rails again.
So you and Peter aren't... Allison goes pink. Oh my God, I just assumed. And he just played along. He must think I'm an idiot.
He doesn't think you're an idiot, Tom assures her. Honestly, I think he played along to try to spare you embarrassment. Peter's my friend. I care about him. And I think he's suffered enough. But I do want you to understand that he is dangerous. He is not entirely sane. If left to his own devices, I think he would be okay, but...
But? Allison looks at her father. Chris won't meet her gaze.
But my father is upset about Kate's death, and has made it clear that he considers Peter responsible, even if Tom is the one who killed her. She tried to kill Stiles, Allison says blankly. I mean, she threatened to kill an entire gymnasium full of teenagers. Gerard thinks that she had every right to do that, because it got her into position to kill Peter, a werewolf who had killed humans. Allison looks between the two men. Okay, wow, that's horrifying. That's a good word for it, yes. Tom shakes his head. I want to believe that Peter would never harm you, Allison. But if he believes he's in danger from Gerard, if he believes his family is in danger from Gerard, he is capable of just about anything. Do you understand? Yeah, I understand. Allison folds her arms over her stomach and looks at her father. Can't we do something about Gerard? Do what? Chris asks. He's a grown man, and it's a free country. I can't make him leave Beacon Hills, not until he's done what he came here to do. And Sheriff Stilinski can't arrest him unless he breaks the law, which so far he hasn't. Allison appears to think about that for a minute, then nods. Okay. She frowns a little. So how does Peter know Erica, then? Peter turned Erica into a werewolf, Tom says. Lycanthropy can cure chronic illnesses, so Erica wanted the bite to cure her epilepsy. Oh, okay. Oh my God, Scott's a werewolf, isn't he? Tom is a little startled at how quickly she had figured it out, but she surely had to have noticed that he hadn't needed his inhaler recently, even without the acrobatics during gym class. Yes, which is the other reason Chris and I decided to put you in the loop. Same deal. Scott's asthma was severe enough to be life-threatening. Peter needs a pack. The only family he has left is his nephew. So he turned some people who were willing to get the bite for whatever reason. Scott was one of those people. And don't be upset with him for hiding it from you. I told him to do that. We were hoping to put it off until Gerard left town, but it's becoming clear that it won't be any time soon. Okay, well, I might still punish him a bit, Allison grumbles. Make him buy me lunch or something. Tom laughs despite himself. I think he can handle that. Chris squeezes Allison's hand again. I know you must have a lot of questions. Give me an hour and I'll have a million, Allison says, but I think I'm okay for now. Okay, we'll head home then. Chris stands up, not letting Allison go. Then he looks at Tom and says, somewhat begrudgingly, thanks. You're welcome. You two take care, Tom says, and shows them out. This isn't the ice cream place, Stiles says, as Derek pulls into a parking lot with only three spaces behind an old brick building. No shit, really? Derek says, rolling his eyes. So where are we? It's my new place. I figured you want to see it. You have a place of your own? Different emotions start warring for dominance inside Stiles' gut. He wants to be happy for Derek, but the thought of spending nights by himself without the werewolf's security blanket is secretly terrifying. He hasn't told anyone else about the nightmares, although he thinks his father knows. Is this what you've been up to during the day while you've been gone? That was part of it, yeah. Derek is hesitating now, a little uncertain. Do you want to see it? Well, yeah, obviously, Stiles says, getting out of the car. He follows Derek up the stairs and through a metal door into a loft apartment. It's still bare, but he can see how nice it's going to be once furnished. There are large windows that give a good view of the city, and a spiral staircase near the back wall. Wow, this place is awesome! I like it, Derek agrees, looking around like he's never seen it before. I need to get some stuff for it, I guess. Yeah, things like a TV, so I can continue to show you modern cinematic masterpieces. Derek's eyes roll hard, but he's smiling. Sure, if that's what you want to call them. Obviously. Stiles looks around and adds, why didn't you just tell us what you were doing? It's not like you needed to keep apartment hunting a secret. I didn't want your dad to feel like I wasn't grateful for him letting me stay with you, or think that I felt pressured to leave. I've been working on a way to pay him back, but it's still in progress for now. You know you don't have to do that, right? Yeah, I know. Derek shrugs and changes the subject. How are things going with Scott?
Pretty well. You know, he's going to try out for lacrosse, which I think will be really good for him. Plus, we have, like, multiple friends now, which is new and exciting.
Derek gives a snort. Hey, can I ask you something? You don't have to answer if you don't want to.
Dude, after all the prying questions I've asked you, I can probably manage to answer one of yours. What's up?
Why are you so against the idea of being a werewolf?
Styles cringes a little and hopes that it doesn't show on his face. Oh, God, please tell me that it's not as obvious as you're making it sound.
Derek shakes his head, which relieves Styles immensely. I think your dad has noticed, but none of the others have. It's not just that you haven't asked Peter for the bite, even though you have to know he'd give it to you in a heartbeat. When the others ask about it, you never want to give a real answer.
They wouldn't understand, Styles says. There are no chairs, so he leans against the windowsill, resting the edge of his butt on it. You can't tell my dad or Peter, okay?
Okay, Derek says.
My dad is, like, the strongest guy I know, and Peter just got right in his head and really fucked with him. I know my dad would never hurt me. I know that. But he came close. Peter tried to make him hurt me, hurt other people. I can't. If he could make my dad do it, he'd be able to make me do anything he wanted.
Styles folds his arm over his stomach and looks away.
That's scary shit.
Derek nods a little. Yeah, I guess it is. And it probably doesn't help to tell you that Peter wouldn't do that now.
I don't know, Dare. I mean, your uncle has come a long way, that's no lie, but he still isn't quite right all the way through. If he thought he needed to for some reason, if it was to protect himself, or maybe even to protect you, I think there's not a lot he's not capable of, you know?
I guess that's true, Derek says, and sighs.
I mean, you think my dad wants Allison in the know so Scott can show off on the lacrosse field? Ha! No! He wants her in the know so he can make sure she'll see danger coming if it does.
Styles hugs himself a little tighter.
Anyway, long story short, I don't want Peter in my head. But I can't just say that where the others can hear me.
Fair, Derek says. I doubt Peter mentioned the whole your alpha can call you out thing to Isaac before he turned him. And Scott and Erica were probably willing to risk it because of their health problems.
Which is fine, you know. That's their choice, and this is mine.
Derek nods again. Okay. But for the record, I think you're a lot stronger than you think you are. Styles immediately flushes pink.
Yeah, thanks for the pep talk, but you have to know that's not true, since I've insisted on using you as a teddy bear for the last 3 weeks, because I can't sleep by myself, and I said that out loud, didn't I? Well, I'm just gonna go.
Derek looks blank. I know you can't sleep by yourself. Why is it a big deal that you said it out loud?
Even darker pink now, Styles says, I don't want you to feel bad for getting your own place. I mean, it's great that you have your own place, and my issues aren't your issues,
Styles.
So if I get a little wonky because I'm not sleeping at night, don't worry about it. I'll get over it. Maybe take some pills or talk to that weird counselor at the school.
Styles, it isn't.
Because it's great that you're moving on and going to have your own apartment and be a functioning adult and everything.
Styles! Derek grabs him by the shoulders. Stop talking. The loft isn't a place for me to live. It's a place to use as my art studio.
Oh, what?
Styles blinks at him. Remember I was telling you about how I wanted to get back to painting, that Laura had been trying to get me to go to art school? I got the loft so I would have a place to store all my art supplies and have a space to work on things without other people seeing them before they were finished.
I'll still be at your house at night, as long as you need me there.
Styles' blush, which had been fading, returns in full pink splendor. Wow, okay, I'm super embarrassed now, but thanks. He rubs a hand over the back of his head. And I'm sure your art is going to be fantastic, and hey, look, is that a subject change? How do you think the conversation with Allison is going?
Derek snorts, but allows the change of subject with good grace. Since your dad is involved, I'm sure it'll be handled adequately.
True,
By the way, Erica is starting a pool on when Peter will finally get sick of flirting and jump my dad's bones. Want in?
No, Stiles, I do not, Derek says. And your father would facepalm all the way to heaven.
Are you kidding? He's literally placed a bet in the pool. Though he put it at 6 months, which, what? Erica has her money on 2 weeks, and I went with 3.
Derek shakes his head. I don't think Peter's serious. He started doing it to make your dad uncomfortable, and now I'm pretty sure he just thinks it's funny. So you can put my money on your dad will break first.
Stiles whoops with laughter. How much money will you give me not to tell my dad you said that?
None, but I will pick you up from school tomorrow in the Camaro.
Heck yes! Stiles does a fist pump. Then we can go shopping for art supplies.
Derek's cheeks tinge pink, but he nods. Okay.
Somehow, Peter gets the message about Tom not wanting him to turn every teenager in sight, and when Boyd turns up at the Stilinski house for dinner, Peter plays least in sight. Boyd seems pretty reserved on the issue. He clearly enjoys having people to hang out with, but when Tom says Peter isn't around, he doesn't push the issue. It's a relief which Tom realizes he sorely needed. Peter is behaving like a rational adult. Chris is at least marginally on their side. All the teenagers seem to be adapting well. Allison is coming to pack dinners and getting along with everyone, although apparently her mother has insisted she break up with Scott. Gerard hasn't made a move. He's gotten some room to breathe. He is still thinking about that when Scott asks out of nowhere, "Hey, Allison, is your grandfather sick?" Allison blinks at him and says, "I know he takes a lot of pills, but why do you ask?" "He smells kind of strange. Off. I didn't know what it meant at first. But then I was at work today and there was a dog dying of cancer and it had the same sort of smell. Sweetish, but rotten underneath."
"I guess he could be sick," Allison says. "I mean, he's old. It's not like he confides in me."
Tom doesn't think a lot about this discussion, but later, when the pack has left and Stiles and Derek have gone up to Stiles' room, Peter sits down across from him and says, "That's why he was trying to find me."
"Huh?" Tom says.
"Gerard, he's dying. He wants the werewolf bite to cure him."
Tom frowns. "That's a bit of a reach.
Gerard has hunted werewolves his entire life. I can't really see him wanting to become one."
Peter waves this aside.
"Gerard might have brainwashed his son into thinking that werewolves are unreasoning monsters, but he's never really thought so himself. No more than Kate did. He just likes killing. To be honest, I think he targets werewolves for the challenge. Some people climb mountains. Some people do UFC or MMA. Gerard murders werewolves."
Tom thinks this over and has to admit that there's merit to the idea. If Gerard had been given a terminal diagnosis, he might well want to find an alpha to coerce into giving him the bite. It's an interesting theory. I guess I'll ask Chris if he knows whether or not his father is actually sick.
"If he is, I hope it's a matter of weeks and not years," Peter says, and Tom snorts. "You know you were thinking it, too."
"You're a terrible influence on me," Tom says.
Peter smirks. "That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me."
Tom waves him off.
"My concern is that Gerard will go after the vulnerable people around you, the way Kate did."
"You're worried for Stiles in particular, I would assume," Peter says. "You really should let me turn him. It would..."
"No," Tom snaps, and Peter flinches backwards, his expression equal parts surprise and hurt. Tom takes a deep breath. "Stiles doesn't want to be turned. He's made that very clear, and don't you dare try to push him into it behind my back."
"Whatever you say," Peter says, the hurt fading back into his usual nonchalance.
"At least Stiles has Derek to keep an eye on him. And the betas can watch out for each other. It's you I'm worried about, especially since Allison's told her father that we're a couple. Gerard will target you if he's going to target anyone."
"I can take care of myself," Tom says, although he has to admit that Peter's concern is heartwarming, especially after Tom just bit his head off.
"Even so, be extra careful."
Peter blows him a kiss before leaving the house,
and Tom looks at the ceiling, deep in thought. He definitely needs to talk to somebody about this. He heads upstairs and checks in on Derek and Stiles. "I'm going out for a bit. You two are okay for the night?" he asks, and they both nod. He gets in the car and heads over for the McCall house. Scott and Isaac are there, but they'll be up in Scott's room getting ready for bed by now. Melissa lets him in with a somewhat puzzled expression. "What's up?" "Do you ever have moments where you think about how your kid thinks you're so mature and you've got everything under control, and it scares the shit out of you?" Melissa gives a snort of laughter. "Hang on, this conversation is going to require wine." 2 minutes later, he's on the sofa, and Melissa has poured them each a glass of red wine that she tells him was on sale at the grocery store. They're not the sort of people who know vineyards. "So is this werewolf related?" she asks. "Not exactly." Tom slumps backwards on the sofa. "Actually, the scary part is that I do feel like I have that under control, more or less. There are things happening that I'm not thrilled about, but on the whole, everything's settling down. But apparently my son has started a betting pool on how long it's going to take before Peter, how did he put this, tries to jump my bones." Melissa bites back a grin and takes a drink of her wine. "You know, it was God knows how many years ago that Claudia was sitting on this exact sofa, drinking what was probably a very similar wine, laughing her ass off at her oblivious husband, who didn't get why this kid kept getting arrested just to be a smug little shit to him." Tom covers his face with both hands and groans quietly. "In my defense, I wasn't exactly used to being hit on by teenage boys. I just figured that was how he tried to talk himself out of trouble with all authority figures." "I bet." Melissa still looks amused. "I take it that he's still hitting on you?" "Yeah, which didn't surprise me, to be honest. And he's blatant enough about it now that it definitely can't be misinterpreted. Then, out of the blue, Stiles told me I was flirting back." "Are you?" Tom hangs his head. "Yeah." "So you're here on my sofa drinking wine at 9:30 p.m. because?" "Because flirting with a serial killer seems like a terrible life choice?" Melissa snorts. "Okay. Is this one of those conversations where I'm supposed to be brutally honest with you, or where I'm supposed to be sympathetic and validate your feelings?" Tom looks at her over the rim of his glass, then sighs. "Honesty." "Honesty. Okay. Tom, you don't give a shit that Peter killed people. If you did, he'd be dead or in jail. So you can take that I shouldn't like a serial killer bit right the hell outside. It's not what's at the root of your drama here, so pack it up." Tom winces. "That's fair, I guess. I mean, I'm not happy with what Peter did, but I understand it, even though I can't condone it. And I honestly don't believe he's planning to kill anyone else, except maybe Gerard Argent, who frankly would probably deserve it." "Okay, so?" "So," Tom thinks about it, "Peter's just... he's so unlike Claudia. He's not the sort of person I ever envisioned being interested in, or being interested in me. I try to imagine an actual relationship with Peter, like wrapping Christmas presents with him, going grocery shopping and texting him about what kind of cereal he wants, arguing about putting the cap back on the toothpaste. I hit this wall. I just can't picture it." "Tom," Melissa says, almost gently, "you are getting way ahead of yourself." Tom winces. "Well, yeah, but..." "Don't yeah but me. You and Claudia had an amazing relationship. You loved each other from the first day you met during junior year of high school. You talked about the kind of house you wanted and how many kids you'd have when you'd known each other 3 months. The relationship you had with Claudia was beautiful and sweet, and you're never going to have another one just like it. And that's okay, Tom. All relationships are different. And to be honest, the one you had with Claudia was pretty unusual. So don't try so hard to make your relationship with Peter something it's not, just because you enjoy flirting with him." "I don't even know what kind of relationship we do have." "That's okay, too. Look, Tom, you're not the sort of person who does casual very well. But you really need to slow way the hell down. Have you talked to him about this at all?
No, Tom says, and Melissa rolls her eyes.
Come on, I don't even know if he's serious.
In that case, you should definitely stop thinking about wrapping Christmas presents with him until you've asked him that, Melissa says.
Tom sighs and twists his wedding ring on his finger.
Maybe I just have trouble picturing him being serious because I know how much he loved his wife. That 6 years he spent in a coma or something like it, time didn't pass for him the same way it did for the rest of us. That loss is still so fresh for him. How could he be interested in anybody?
Everyone grieves in their own way, Tom. Maybe he's interested, maybe he isn't. Maybe he flirts because it amuses him, or because he wants to make you squirm. Maybe he'd be up for friends with benefits, or maybe he actually wants something serious. There are a hell of a lot of maybes here, none of which are going to be any less maybe until you talk to him. But don't do him the disservice of assuming he feels a certain way, just because it's how you would feel.
I guess that's fair.
Tom pours himself a second glass of wine and tops off Melissa's.
Maybe I'm just afraid of rocking the boat. Because Peter's unstable, or because you're afraid of damaging your friendship with him?
Both, really, but the second more.
Tom, if he's not afraid to ruin your friendship by constantly flirting with you, he won't break out in hives if you ask him on a date. Trust me.
Just keep ruining my arguments, why don't you?
You're the one who asked for honesty over sympathy.
Tom slumps backwards on the sofa.
Try the sympathy thing for a minute.
Melissa reaches out and squeezes his hand.
Relationships are scary, Tom. They don't get less scary when we're adults. Don't be so hard on yourself for feeling confused or uncertain. If you don't want to rock the boat, then don't for now. It's okay to let things ride until you feel comfortable with the idea of a relationship.
Thanks, Tom says, relaxing a little. I mean that. And thanks for the wine. That helped, too.
Melissa laughs and pours herself a second glass. And to answer your original question, I hardly ever feel like I know what I'm doing, and the fact that Scott thinks I do is utterly terrifying. But I think we have our shit together more often than not.
I'll drink to that, Tom says, and they both laugh.